Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, I just ask that you help us today to be encouraged, to find joy, to find peace, to understand your word fully, Lord, and incorporate it into our lives. And God, I just ask that you help us to find and see the opportunities that we have to serve you. And thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord's given me one word. And that word is expectation. What are you expecting today? Do you wake up and look in the mirror and expect to see a young man or woman in the mirror? What are you expecting today? What is in that mirror? The body that the Lord gave you. But who's really in that mirror? That spiritual being that you really are. And you're beautiful, made perfect. Perfect. Are you expecting the Lord to work through you today? Are you expecting to be able to change the world today? What are you expecting? Some of us don't want to expect because we think we'll be disappointed because it did not happen. But in the Bible, it says to wait upon the Lord. Continue to have that expectation that He will heal your flesh, that He will work amazing things through you because He is in you. He wants you to expect. And when you expect, then the unexpected will happen. Thank you.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Hey, the Lord has already won. Let's hold our attention on that. I don't know about you, but the last 3 weeks have been rough with what's going on in Israel. We are winning. We are overcoming. All is coming into divine order. I am doing my best to hold that. And I pray that we will encourage ourselves and our neighbors, our friends, our family, and also to assist everybody to wake up. The Lord wants us to wake up. We have a mission here, a very special purpose. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what our lives look like, we are winning. So I encourage you all to hold on to that as best you can. And look at this cute little dog here putting his head out. I had a dog just like that. So let's love our animals. Let's love our neighbors and our friends. And let's hold the vision, keeping it on the Lord. He's leading us forward. He's building His army. And we are it, and we are winning. I just wanted to share that with you. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share this with you because God does keep giving us life when we cling to the vine. And this is a poem I wrote about that. Like grapes, the disciples were picked. Jesus lifted them up in prayer and washed their dirty feet. They clung to Him, His very word. I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the vine dresser. You are a prized vineyard, full and sweet in Him. Lean on Him, cling to Him, sing to Him, live for the light of the sun. He fights our very battle, they will all be won, and we are His fruitful harvest, but He wants us to do more. We are meant to walk in spirit, to be the salt and light, and gently guide another to God's path, the one true light. By holding on together, we are pressing in, learning of His ways to keep us all from sin. So stay connected to the vine and centered on His word. When we are all together, He then will make new wine.
On. Yesterday was Veterans Day,
And I just want to share something about God's timing. As you guys helped me with, I ran a collection for the homeless on jackets and coats and hats and gloves. And 2 weeks ago, I called them up and said, I got some items for you. And I went in on, not this past Monday, but the Monday before. And they came out to my trunk. I had a trunk full of clothes. So I collected them with them. And they said, thank you very much. We just ran out of everything this morning. So that was God's timing. And God bless all the veterans that are here today as well. Amen.
So last night, very early, God has a way of waking you up when he wants to give you a message. But I believe it's a message for all of us. In these last days, we do need to remind ourselves of Acts 2:21, in which he says, in the last days it shall be said, God, that I will pour out my spirit back up here on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Yes. Even on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below. And he says, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and glorious day of the Lord comes. I believe that what he's saying is these are the times that he's pouring out his spirit. And he will continue to do so because he loves us, because we are his people, because we are his children. And he will do signs and wonders through us. Not us, but he will do it through us. For it is he that we give the glory to. He is the spirit that fills us up, that dwells within us. And he is so pleased, I want to say. I'm feeling it. He is pleased with this church. He is pleased as to where they have come. And you will continue to walk with him. You will continue to be filled with his spirit, and you will continue to see signs and wonders. This I believe. Amen.
All right. Just like Maria Elena said, I've got a message the Lord gave me, and it's a very strong message, but I couldn't sleep. You know, he kept telling me you have to write it down and let everybody know. This is what the Lord gave me. The Bible says the first time God destroyed the earth by water, and he promised to never do that again. He went on to say, I will destroy by fire the second time. I won't even pretend. I understand all the book of Revelation, but I do understand quite plainly that I do wish to spend eternity in heaven. Keep in mind that the rapture comes before the Antichrist. I have been hearing about the second coming of Christ and the events unfolding, my mom always told me, since I was a child. The mark of the beast, artificial intelligence, microchips, no cash, digital currency, total government dependency control. When we are raising a family, working long hours, some two jobs, lots of things go unnoticed or just get ignored. No one can comprehend how bad it would be, but we see it happening bit by bit on the news every day. While the enemy preparing people for the Antichrist, God is preparing people for the rapture. I don't know when the rapture will take place, but I know that I'm not planning on being left behind. When the trumpet sounds, we're going up there. I will take place. I know that I'm not planning to be left behind when the trumpet sounds. I also believe right now that God is giving us a chance to repent. We need to get the gospel message out until the good Lord calls us away from this world to go home. I want to make it clear that I believe in Jesus Christ as the one and only true Lord and Savior. Despite the fact that I am human and I feel at times, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So if the Holy Spirit moves you and you're not ashamed, we need to be a bright light everywhere we go. I'm a believer in God, the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can we say amen?
You know, there's something that stuck with me even years after I heard it. And it was actually at a youth convention one year. One of the people that was ministering, the speaker, he said something that, of course, like, I think we know, but when he said it, it just, like, hit. You know, it's one of those things. But he said, even a Christian who's been saved for years and years can become stagnant. And that's the thing, is that I think there's so often this thought, right, of like, okay, I asked Jesus into my life, I'm good. And it really, when he said it, it was like, oh, all this stuff just started pouring in. And even right now, as we're singing this, he keeps on giving me life. We're not meant to be stagnant ever in our life. We're not. The word is a living word. It's why in Hebrews it tells us, sharper than any two-edged sword, separating even bone and marrow, soul and spirit. The truth is that it doesn't matter what's happening in your life or what you're going through, what's going on. He knows what's happening. And all of it is for growth. That's the thing. We can't keep looking at things that happen in our life as, oh, just terrible moments. We got to start looking at them through the eyes of the kingdom, saying, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, God, what you're doing in my life is preparing me for where I'm going and what you're doing moving forward, where you're still pushing me ahead to. It's why in those moments it is so important to press in. It's why we talk about those things. Because man does not live on bread alone, but what? On the word of God. That's the thing, is that every day, just like you're eating, just like those things that the body feels like it needs, it's the word that it needs every day. Every day, taking a moment to just open up, taking a moment to just sleep, because what we're singing right now, that's exactly what it's doing. It keeps on giving me life. That's exactly what it's doing in your life. It's strengthening you. It's lifting you up. It's giving you nutrition, the things that you're needing for what he knows is still to come in your life, for what he knows he's bringing towards you because he wants it for you. Don't look at any moment as a bad moment, because every moment is a step and a step and a step. Every moment is another moment for you to have faith in what he's doing in your life. Every moment is a moment for you to be strengthened in the kingdom of God. It is time for us to start looking at those things through the eyes of the kingdom instead of looking at them through what we see physically.
Keeps on.
Because he's constantly giving us life.
Yes.
He's constantly breathing something into you. He's constantly giving things to you. It's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to keep giving you life, to keep unlocking the mysteries of the kingdom, to keep giving you the keys that you need to do what you need to do. He's got it all there for you. And he just wants to keep giving you life.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if you love the Lord and you love the life of God that's within you, just give him a hand. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, some of the testimonies this morning just kind of reminded me of years ago. I don't even know how many years ago it was. But I woke up from a dream. In the middle of the night, I woke up and at the sound of a trumpet.
Yeah.
Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. And when my dream that I had was, it felt like I was in Bisbee. Anybody been to Bisbee? No. I like Bisbee. I met my wife in Bisbee. I married my wife in Bisbee, and I was born in Bisbee. I like Bisbee. But it seemed like from Bisbee, I could see the city of Tucson and the skyscrapers there, this little small site, bunch of skyscrapers that we have here. And in the dream, I could hear this explosion. And what caught my eye, I was in Bisbee, I heard this explosion, I turned and I looked to see the explosion, and I could see one of these big buildings just poof, a bunch of powder coming out of the bottom of it, or dust, and the building just swaying like that. And then boom, it happened again, and I'd see another building just swaying like that. And I said, Lord, what is this, Lord? And the Lord said something to me that morning. He said, Henry, I'm shaking the foundations of everything that can be shaken.
Amen.
Because my return is soon. How many say amen? Amen. How many can sense God, things are changing in the earth today? How many sense that the Holy Spirit is saying to the body of Christ, it's time to get ready. Time to get ready. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Hey, how many of you know that the Lord is saying, hey, I have called you for this purpose. Do you understand this? Listen to me, folks. He's called you for a purpose. Is that right? Amen. It's time to get ready. Is that right for that purpose? Can you say amen? Amen. There's going to be a lot of people wondering what to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of people wondering with fear. And you have what it takes to calm that person down and to give them a message that comes to them from the Father. Can you say amen to that? Are you ready for that? Ooh, God. Hallelujah. Last night, as I was looking at the word, the Lord gave me, once again, headed one direction, and the Lord totally switched the directions. And he said, this is what I want you to tell my people. And I said, okay, I got it. And I looked at it. When I began to where he was leading me, it really began to take a form that I said, God, I can't say this tomorrow. Can you say amen? Yeah. How many say amen? Hallelujah. Come in. When I looked, I said, man, this is a little different than what most folks are used to hearing. How many of you know that a lot of times you're going to hear something new in the house of God? The Bible says a householder, which I am, and Pastor John, and a lot of, we are householders. It's the word of God. Jesus said you're going to bring forth old things, and then you're also going to bring forth new things. How many say amen to that? How many of you like new things? But those new things had to be based on the word of God. Can you say amen? It's not just put out new things. I mean, it is things that God wants to say to the body of Christ. And that's all I'm interested in. Can you say amen to that? Just like Sister Maria Elena said, hey, he goes, hey, man, it's not about me. It's about him. Amen. I am a pastor reluctant, I guess I could say. Can you say amen? I was reluctant to take this job. I said, Lord, you can't be serious. Me? How many say amen? Me? How many know if God tells you, hey, I want you to go tell that person in the restaurant that I love them and that I will heal them right now on the spot if they believe me? How many of you might go, me? Me tell them that? No. You know, and that's, can I just say this, that God knows each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. And the time is now. The body of Christ needs to come to a maturity within herself. In God, do you know? Listen to what I'm saying to you. There's a maturity that God needs to bring to us. Can you say amen? I said something to somebody the other day, and they said, well, you know, the United States of America has a lot of growing up to do, or, you know, we got a lot of work. And I say, God can do a lot of work if we listen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He can move us in a way that he wants to move us if we'll listen. How many say, I want to listen? How many want to hear what God has to say? I'm glad you do. So don't fire me. Amen. This could be fun. Come on, man. This could be real, a lot of fun. Or it can be if anything, I need you to listen, pay attention, lean in on this message. I don't believe it's going to be very long. I believe it's kind of short. But it's got something that God wants us to hear. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right. So praise God. Let's go into the Word of God. And I'm going to pray because, boy, I'm going to need some help. He says, amen. Pray for me, y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I heard a guy say this prayer one time. Lord, help. Amen. Amen. Come on, man. Come on. I don't have to be fancy. Don't have to be elegant. Don't have to be a 20-minute prayer. Can you say amen to that? How many know God is near you? How many know that God's with you? Come on. Sometimes we feel like we forget. Sometimes it's like we forget it. But no, he's with you. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. He's there with you. When you go to the bathroom, he's with you. Never. What? That doesn't even sound good. Yeah, but he's there. Can you say amen? Come on, man. You can't get away from God. Just can't. He loves you. He cares about you, and he knows you. He say amen. So if you will, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Glory to God. The month of Thanksgiving. I said, Lord, can I throw Thanksgiving in the titles all the way through? I don't know if this works very well, but I said, this is today's title. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. How many are thankful for the kingdom of God? How many are glad that you're in this kingdom? Do you know that God loves you and he has placed you in a kingdom? Hallelujah. That not only is in the city, not only is it in the United States, but it's worldwide. Folks, we speak an international language. Can you say amen? It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes all over. It's not limited to borders like the United States or the Mexico border. It's not limited. The language we speak is a totally international language. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Every nation. It's funny, in Psalms, this isn't even part of my message, but in Psalms 2, the Word of God says, today, thou art my son. I don't even know the verse. Thou art my son. Today I've begotten thee. This is what he tells, what he says in the scriptures. And I believe God, this it was the prophecy of God speaking to Jesus. Today, you are my son. I have begotten you. But then right after that, it says, ask me and I will give you the nations for an inheritance. Can you say amen? Amen. Can I tell you, the Israelites, man, they thought they had the box on God. Can you say amen? We got the box. It's called Ark of the Covenant. Thank you. We got the box. Nobody else has got it. We're the ones. Yeah. Jesus came and he says, not just for you, my friend, it's worldwide. Can you say amen? We speak an international language. Can you say amen? Amen. So it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no greater news. You have not been represented any better. Oh man. You have never been represented as well as you were when Jesus died on the cross. Do you know that? Ooh, you were well represented. I don't know why I said that. Somebody needed that, but I sensed that in my spirit. You were well represented at the cross. Jesus died for you. He wiped out your sins. Listen to me. He wiped them out. They're not there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's not going to die again for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Whew, hallelujah. Man, I don't know if I'm going to get to this message, but I got to because the Lord. Luke chapter 12. Starting at verse 13. Lord, help me, Lord. And one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Dude, who made me a judge or divider over you?" Jesus is telling this guy, "Look, man, I'm not going to divide your stuff." I think the guy saw an opportunity that Jesus was well respected. And he was a powerful man. So he said, "Hey, tell my brother that he needs to divide the stuff with me, my inheritance." Jesus said, "I'm not here for that. That's not what I'm here." Can you say amen? But I've seen that Jesus finds it a great opportunity to go ahead and speak some things that he needs to speak. So he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." How many have a lot of stuff? Amen. How many are looking at your house sometimes and say, "Man, I got to get rid of some of this stuff." Oh, yeah. How many say amen? How many know that, hey, you can get rid of it and not even 2 weeks later, you're not even care about it, not even going to think about it? Can you say amen? For some reason, sometimes we think we've got to hold on to stuff. Is that all right? Yeah. I don't want to be somebody that holds on to stuff, but yet I hold on to stuff. I like old cars. You guys have seen a lot of you say, "I got a bunch of old cars around my house." Is that right? Yeah. I like old cars. But I don't need an overabundance of old cars in my yard. How many say amen to that? Amen. I'm not trying to start a junkyard. A lot of you might say, "You already got a junkyard, Henry." Well, but I'm sure Rosie might say something like that. But there's a reason, because I've got grandkids that they're going to need a car. Can you say amen? Yes, sir. And I'm sure not going to go buy them a brand new Zeta or whatever. Jetta. Oh, no, whatever. Anyway, so all right, here we go. Verse 16, he said this parable, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, 'What should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Time to relax. Verse 20 says, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?' And then Jesus says this, 'So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Here's a parable about a rich man that his barns were too small for the blessing that God had given him in the fields. How many know that the blessing came from God? What could he have done better, or what could he have done instead of building a bigger barn so he could store it all? What could he have done? He could have given it away. Is that right? I know my neighbor back there, Oscar and Mary, when they got stuff growing, they got a bunch of, I end up with all sorts of tomatoes and bell peppers and little chilies. And man, there's an overabundance of what they get. So they say, "Hey man, you want some?" I say, "Hey, sure, I'll take it." But this guy was pretty much, notice all the eyes. What shall I do? Amen. I will build. I will store. And Jesus said at the end of that, he goes, "So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." How many are rich, like being rich toward God? How many enjoy giving to God? How many enjoy giving time to others? Sometimes doing something for a friend or something. How many enjoy that? I actually enjoy it. I like it. I still got a tree that's half cut down in front of Tommy's house. Isn't that right, Tom? We went after it. I go, "Oh, we'll get it one day." I said, but when I got there, I go, "Wow, that's a big tree." It's a lot bigger than I thought. But how many know God knows your needs? Do you know that? So you don't have to be somebody that stores things. You know, we are in a kingdom. Can you say amen? We're in a kingdom. Now check this out. I'm going to take you someplace that this is where God told me out. This is what I want you to say to the body of Christ. Whoa, okay. I turned over to, I said, yeah, I can. You want me to say this? You're kidding me, man. God, are you sure you? Sometimes we have to look at our lives the way God might be looking at us. Can you say amen? So here it comes. I need you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Look at your neighbor and say, hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on tight. For what God sometimes wants to do is dispel half-truths with the truth. Can you say amen? He wants to bring truth in, and sometimes we hold on to half-truths, the truths that just have got no business being in our lives. Can you say amen to that? So here we're going to go in this, and I need you to listen to it. Here it says, starting at verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we preach not ourselves. Say, not ourselves. See, you remember the guy with I want to build new barns, it's all for myself. We don't preach ourselves. Can you say amen? We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus has shined into our hearts so that we might be a glowing light. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. We are yet not distressed. We are displexed, but not in despair. Amen?
Amen.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto what? Okay, death. Yeah, all right. For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. There it is. I read it. Go home and study it. Amen. Praise God. No, man, let me. No. You go, what? What kind of message was that? Now, I need to look at something. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me ask you a question. Who is the God of this world? Anybody? Anybody else? The devil. I have made it a point not to mention this guy too much in here, because I will tell you that he wants to be mentioned. Can you say amen? He wants his name. I mean, can I tell you, folks, that we give him a lot more credit that he should never receive from us as a kingdom of God? How many of you know How many know that he is not a God? Yes. A God does not lie. A God does not deceive. Nope. He is not a God.
That's it.
He is not the one blinding the eyes. How many know that he's been defeated? How many know that? Come on, man. God, I don't know if this is going over very well, Lord, but here we go. That's right. How many times do we do that? How many times do we give him credit? it is not him. What if I was to tell you that the God that blinds the eyes boy, here we go. What if I tell you that the God that blinds the eyes? See, I'm going to make you wait. I'm hungry. Come on, man. Listen, the God that blinds the eyes is your desire. What you desire. The God that blinds the eyes is what you're looking for, what you're wanting, is your lack of dying before the Lord. Can I say this to you? It's your lack of figuring out that God said, hey, I died for you. You died with me. The God that's blinding the eyes is our desire, our lust, it's blinding us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's not the devil. He has been defeated. He's not even an issue to the body of Christ. And yet we hold him. We say, well, it's, you know why? Because we will try to blame him for, it's an excuse why we do what we do. We wanna keep doing what we do. And so we say, well, the devil made me do that. No, he didn't. He's not omnipresent. Can you say amen to that? He is not omniscient. Is that right? He's not omnipotent. He is defeated. He is a non-issue. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If we would take up the cross and follow him, we'd find out that God says, I've got so much more for you. I've got so much more for you. But yet you're pondering the things that shouldn't be pondered. You're thinking about things that have no business being thought by a child of the king. Amen. Can you say amen to that? You know, I realize there's some folks, you know, I say, hey, man, you know what? Because I will tell them, you know what? You're perfect in Christ. Jesus Christ has made you perfect. No, no, no. I am just an old sinner. Somebody said that to you. I'm just an old sinner. What a horrible witness, or what a horrible testimony to be spoken by one that is an image bearer of the King. You are image bearers. Yeah. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and they said, who are you, man? Who do you think you are? And he tells them, because my Father and I are one. And they wanted to pick up stones and stone him. Why? They told him why. They said, because you, being a man, has made yourself a God by calling him your Father. And then Jesus says this to them. I think I gave this scripture. Jesus said this to them. He said, John chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law that you are God's? This sounds kind of weird, now, don't it? But can I say this to you, folks? Men and women of the kingdom of God, you are gods. The word of God says it. It declares it. Jesus even brought it up to the Pharisees. Doesn't it say that you're gods? We are image bearers of the king, of God. I know. It sounds weird. I know it does. It sounds weird. But I didn't give it to you. Psalm 82, verse 6. Can you look that up real quick? Psalm 82, verse 6. Here's the psalm that says, put up verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations are out of course. Here's talking about man that doesn't know and doesn't understand. It creates where the foundations are out of course. And God is desiring to strengthen every foundation. Every foundation, every life that's in here has a foundation. Every one of you have a foundation, and God wants to strengthen it. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now it says this next verse, it says this. 82 verse 6. Have I not said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High? Do you see the testimony, what God's word is saying? With your mouth you can create and you can destroy. Can you say amen? See, because why? Because you are an image of the God that we serve. He's invisible, but we are not invisible. You're an image of who he is. Can you say amen? There's an expectation placed on you as a child of the living God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I've said you are gods. You are all children of the Most High. The next verse, she'll put the next verse up. And then it says, therefore, it's coming. Therefore, I think it's therefore, maybe not. Verse 7. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. It's a funny thing to say, because you don't believe that you're godly, because you're a child, you're the image bearer of God. It says you'll die like people, like men, and then fall like one of the princes. This is the same word that was used to fall like one of the princes. Look at your neighbor and say prince. Prince, prince, prince. Prince. This is the same word that said, if they had known who he was, the princes would have never destroyed Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. He calls them princes. Why? Because they're going to die like men. They had no idea who he was. So the word calls them princes. Oh, man. What happens with us is we sometimes figure that God's okay with us doing what is contrary to this kingdom that we're in. And I will say this to you this morning, folks, it's not okay. If you're still going after your brother and your sister, you're still fighting with somebody, if you're still arguing, if you're still talking to somebody about somebody else in a negative fashion, I will tell you, you are working against the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? You're not created for that. You have never been designed for that. It will not work for you. Therefore, those things that you want, those things that you desire, somehow they don't come to you. You know why? Because you're contrary. Can you say amen? Don't be contrary. Amen. Amen. Huh. It's crazy. What's blinded our eyes is self. That's what that man was. I'm going to make a barns and I'm going to, you know, say it was self that blinded his eyes. And it happens the same today. It's not this guy that we call the devil. He's defeated. He's done. He's not omnipotent. He can't be here and in France at the same time. He can't. Nope. He's a done deal in the kingdom. Amen. Quit using him for an excuse. Praise God, man. I kind of chuckle sometimes when people say, well, the devil's doing that through them and everything. I said, well, yeah, no. Not happening. It's self overriding. Can you say amen? Self. Everybody say self. Self. You don't want yourself to override what God has given you. Can you say amen? Right. It doesn't work. Do you know the kingdom is self-executing? Yep. What does that mean? Sounds like somebody's shooting you, huh? Self-executing. The kingdom. When things are contrary to the kingdom works against it.
Is that okay?
No.
It's going to happen that way when things are against the kingdom. Talking about your brother, cursing somebody, being angry to the point where you just can't get over it. That's why the Word of God tells you, you got to forgive. You have to forgive.
That's it.
Self overrides the kingdom. Do you understand that?
Amen.
So the god of this world is self. That's what started Adam in the garden. Eve in the garden. She saw it. She liked it. She gave it to Adam. He liked her, so he goes, I'll eat it. Ha. Bad choice. Self. My, what I want. It can't be that way, folks. The kingdom is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How many like that?
Amen.
Come on, man. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Ow.
Trouble is with living sacrifices, they keep crawling off the altar. Is that right?
Yep.
Stay.
Stay.
When it happened, when you've got a chance to live contrary, to be angry at somebody, stop it. Shut it down. Say, it's okay, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, that whatever they've got to say, it won't affect me. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Folks, we're in a kingdom. Kingdom living is what God wants us to know. I just want to take you back to Luke chapter 12 and start at verse maybe 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. This is an attitude of the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Take no thought. Don't even worry about it, is what he's saying. What you're going to eat, what you're going to put on. For your, neither for the body, for what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment, clothing. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, nor neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add one stature, can add his to his stature one cubit? If you then be able to do that which is least, be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Is God for you or isn't he? Is God for you?
Yes.
If God be for you,
who can be
against you? Is he for you?
Yes.
He's for you. Don't be of a doubtful mind. And the things of the nation, can you take it back one time? For all these things, the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love it because that little piece right there is not in Matthew when he talks about seek first the kingdom of God. Here in Luke, he says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Can I tell you that him giving you the kingdom is based on your response to hearing the truth about the kingdom. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I will tell you that
that whatever's contrary to the kingdom in this world today, it's not going to stand. We are coming to the door is opening for the end of these things that we know the way they are. The door is opening and God's going to get ready. These things are going to be swept out. The word of God says we won't even remember some of these things. How many say amen? Because the kingdom and its glory will be in the earth. How many know this kingdom is here now?
Yep.
Where is it at? It's within you. He wants to give you the things, but you keep crawling off the altar.
Stay put.
You know, there's only one legitimate altar call. Did you know that? That's the only, there's only one. One altar call that really God respects. Do you know that? The one that he respects is when his son died on the cross. That's the only altar call he respects. He asks us just to believe him. Just believe me, what he says.
Amen.
You don't need an altar call to get you closer to God. You're not any closer to him than what you are with me speaking these words to you. You don't need to be in front of a church, in front of a bunch of people so they can say, hey, he got saved. Look, man, we had 50 people got saved today. Yeah. And none of them step into the kingdom. You see, folks, hey, this is a thing. This thing that God is talking about, Jesus said it this way. You have to lay down your life, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me. This is the way of the kingdom. When you do that, the kingdom begins to operate in your life. Things begin to come your way because God is looking at you and he's watching you. And he is not way out there. He is right here. He hears everything you say. I was out back and my barbecue kind of fell over. I told Rosie, you know, babe, I think we're going to start needing to look for a barbecuer. She goes, why can't you fix it? Hey. Well, I can. I can put a stick under it, hold it up. But I think we need a barbecue. That afternoon, Denise's dad gives me a call. Hey, Henry. Yeah. You need a barbecue? Oh, yeah. I said, yeah, I'll be over to pick it up. He says, oh, no. You're going to need a few guys to come and get this one. It's pretty heavy. And it's a great big thing. Just the other day, Rosie was telling me, she goes, you know, I was talking to a man that plays volleyball with her. She goes, I was talking to this guy, and he's got a picture of, he's holding this hummingbird feeder in his hand. And there's a hummingbird on it. He's got a camera taking pictures of him, getting a selfie with his hummingbird that he's got. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
I said, well, that's cool. And she goes, I want to get me a hummingbird feeder. I'm going to try that. I said, cool. She comes home the other night. I go, what's that? She goes, Liz gave me a hummingbird feeder, a handheld one. I said, oh, yeah. See, God hears that. God hears it all. And if your kingdom based, your kingdom life is growing, is pushing forward, God's going to hear every need, that everything that you want. And he's going to say, it's my good pleasure to give you this in the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? That's who God is. God is not a psycho, crazy monster that we have to be very careful with. He is a loving Father. Amen. That cares about us and wants the best for us. But oh, he tells us, you want the best. I want the best for you. All you got to do is deny yourself. Come and let me take you. And you will see that you have, this is the best road you could ever be on. Deny yourself.
Amen.
Take up your cross. Follow him. I have found that he doesn't give out a lot of orders. Doesn't tell me, well, you got to go here. You got to go there. I need you to go over there. I need you to go over there. He says, where I tell you to go, you go. What I tell you to say, you say. Don't worry about the rest. Well, doesn't a pastor have to be running around? He says, no, that's why I've got you. That's why you're listening to me. I have not designed you to do that. My body will do that. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The body of Christ in the earth is designed to go out and to minister to your neighbors and your friends. But you got to take up the cross and follow him. Quit blaming old Slewfoot. Quit blaming that guy with the horns. Quit. He has got nothing to do with you and your life. The God of this world can be self. I believe that's what God is saying to us. Be careful. It is self. It is what you override God with. And you don't want to be overriding God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I know there's people in the Bible that talks about that tried to override God. Can I just say it doesn't work out too good for them? There's three Hebrew boys that tried to override God. We're going to kill them. We're going to burn them. They're going to look like little French fries. There's a fourth man in that fire. And I believe it's the Son of God. And he set those three boys over the kingdom. If you will take up your cross, follow him, you're going to find that God will promote you in areas and places you never thought you'd be promoted. Because that's his desire for you. Can you say amen? Can you stand? Let's pray. Okay, Lord, I said it. Thank you, Lord. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters, Father God. I pray, God, that we, as your blood-bought children, Father, as those that claim to love you, Father God, that we would take up our cross, follow you, Lord. I pray that you would lead and guide and strengthen everyone that walks in this manner, Father, that they will see that there is only one way. It's the way that Jesus showed us, the way of the cross. Thank you for it this morning, Father. We give you praise and glory. Yeah, this is Thanksgiving month, and we will thank you every day. Every day we will give you thanks, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming to church this morning. If you need prayer.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.